Hi there, I'm Alex Bice, Assistant Managing Editor of Cure.
And I am Brielle Bennion, also Assistant Managing Editor of Cure.
And we are here today to bring you some of the latest news from the cancer world. Now, Brielle, there was something pretty big happening over in Europe last week. Is that correct?
Yes. So they had the annual European Society of Medical Oncology, aka ESMO, annual conference. That happened out in Madrid, and it really brought together some of the biggest and brightest minds in the world of oncology and presented a lot of research, tons of research, tons of abstracts, some of which patients should really know about because they could be practice changing. They could lead to FDA approvals, stuff on quality of life. Really, really a big conference that we should all look out for.
Absolutely. And we at the Cure team, we had folks on the ground at ESMO, and we also were reporting on it virtually here at home in the States. And we have a lot of comprehensive ESMO coverage that you can read today on curetoday.com. But for the purposes of conciseness, in this episode of the podcast today, we are specifically talking about findings that were presented at ESMO that kind of lead the way towards FDA approvals, which are really, really, potentially really, really exciting for patients. So Brielle, what is one of the first big ones that folks should keep an eye out for?
So before we get too deep into it, I do want to say that we at Cure, unfortunately, don't have a crystal ball. So we can't definitively say that, yes, this drug is for sure going to be approved. But based on some of the research that's been presented, you know, we can feel really confident and definitely know to keep an eye out on it. The first one is Welireg, which outperformed Afinitor in advanced clear cell kidney cancer, also known as renal cell carcinoma. So findings from the phase 3 LifeSPARC-005 trial compared Welireg to Afinitor, which is the current standard of care for this patient population, and showed that Welireg led to better outcomes. There was improved progression-free survival, which is the time patients live without their disease getting worse or without dying, and objective response rate, which is essentially the percentage of patients whose disease shrinks or even disappears from treatment. However, we should note that there was no significant difference in overall survival, which is, you know, how long you live after treatment before death of any cause. So it did improve the time that patients live without their disease getting worse, but there was no statistical significance in overall survival, right? It didn't make people live any longer. So we know that the FDA is looking at this data and is set to make their decision on the Welireg approval on or before January 17th, 2024.
Got it. We will certainly keep an eye out for that. And then also at ESMO, there were a couple of big findings related to Keytruda. First up, we have Keytruda plus chemotherapy was found to best the standard of care when dealing with advanced cervical cancer. All right. So also on the FDA's docket for review are findings from the phase 3 KEYNOTE-A18 trial, which was investigating the addition of Keytruda to external beam radiotherapy, also known as EBRT, and concurrent chemotherapy followed by brachytherapy for the treatment of patients with newly diagnosed high-risk locally advanced cervical cancer. And these findings, which were presented at ESMO, show that adding the immunotherapy agent Keytruda to the regimen improved progression-free survival, overall survival, and response rates among patients. And with one expert, Bradley J. Monk, even commenting, this is a celebration for patients because we're challenging a treatment paradigm that has stood for more than two decades. And the FDA stated that it plans to make its approval decision for Keytruda in this indication by January 20th, 2024. Now, Brielle, folks shouldn't necessarily be like putting a sticker on that date in their calendars, correct? That's more just a general ballpark date when folks can expect a decision to be announced by the FDA, correct?
Yes. So what happens is the FDA will, if they grant a priority review, which basically means they're speeding up the review of this drug or treatment because it shows a lot of promise, right? With that, they'll stamp a decision date, a PDUFA date. That is like their goal date. Like, we have the goal of reviewing this drug and making our approval decision by this date. Sometimes they come in earlier, months, days, weeks earlier. Sometimes it's kind of crickets when we're supposed to hear back. Sometimes the approval will get pushed out, and usually the FDA will send out a letter with that too, saying we want more information, things like that. So that's a goal date, but you know, that is not a do or die date. It could be pretty fluid with when these decisions are being made by the agency.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then on that note, one decision was actually made by the agency prior to ESMO regarding a study findings of which were presented at ESMO. Just before ESMO, the FDA also approved Keytruda for the perioperative treatment of patients with resectable stages 2, 3A or 3B non-small cell lung cancer. Now, resectable means it's able to be removed by surgery. This approval was based off of findings from the phase 3 KEYNOTE 671 trial, where patients were assigned to either receive pre-surgical Keytruda plus chemotherapy, followed by post-surgical Keytruda or pre-surgical placebo plus chemotherapy, followed by a placebo. The study findings were presented at ESMO, and they showed that the main goal of the trial was met, which was overall survival, the time from treatment until death of any cause, which was significantly better among patients who received Keytruda-containing regimen than those who did not. Specifically, the median overall survival was not yet reached in the Keytruda group, which means that not enough patients in the Keytruda group had died to determine an average time until death, which the average time until death was 52.4 months among patients in the placebo group. The median event-free survival time, which is the time a patient lives without any disease-related occurrences, such as a recurrence, a relapse, or death, was also not met for patients who were given Keytruda. And I had the chance to talk with Dr. Jean G. Finley, who is an assistant professor at Drexel University College of Medicine and a medical oncologist at AHN Cancer Institute, Allegheny Clinic Medical Oncology, to break down the significance of this approval for patients with non-small cell lung cancer. So we'll play a clip from that conversation right now.
In practice for patients, like say you have a potentially resectable lung cancer, but say it's maybe stage 3, and maybe the surgeon is not very confident that they can get it all out or that they can do the surgery for a cure. So in that setting, in the old days, we would try to give them some chemo before the surgery to try to shrink the tumor down. But that really wasn't that good of a strategy because, you know, the majority of patients would not respond to the chemotherapy. And so it didn't, it helped a little bit, but it wasn't a big game changer. I would say that the use of nivolumab preoperatively and now the use of neoadjuvant therapy with chemo plus pembrolizumab or Keytruda has been shown to be effective in this preoperative space to shrink the tumor down, improve the rates of complete resection, rendering the patient curable, and more of the patients can be cured with surgery with this strategy. So that's where this fits in, the idea of since in the old days, most lung cancers, 60% or so, were not considered to be able to undergo surgery. Some proportion of those with stage 3 lung cancer can be shifted over into this group that can be considered curable with preoperative treatment, with chemo, or with immunotherapy and chemo, or with immunotherapy alone.
So that was Dr. Finley. And that about does it for us for this week. Make sure you stay tuned to curetoday.com for all the latest updates, insights, and news from the cancer space. Brielle, it was a pleasure breaking down news out of ESMO today with you.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Talk to you later. Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Cure Today and on X at Cure_Today. And be sure to sign up for Cure's e-newsletter for the latest in cancer updates, research, and educational opportunities.